planet, the solar system later, and the galaxy are maintained in their proper relationships to each other and unfold their own internal potentials according to the will of deity. So the world soul today is a unit which is broken up into minor manifesting parts in the souls of human beings, animals, and other creatures. It is even present in the vegetables through our own dedications to the values that are necessary to protect life. Now, on the general collective field of things out in the large world, we have nothing but an infinite number of repetitions of exactly the same structure that we have within man himself. The world soul is the unity. It is the mass of psychic integrity by means of which the whole planet, the solar system later, and the galaxy are maintained in their proper relationships to each other and unfold their own internal potentials according to the will of deity. So the world soul today is a unit which is broken up into minor manifesting parts in the souls of human beings, animals, and other creatures. It is even present in the vegetables and the minerals. The soul is a principle of regenerating life, guiding the evolution of all things to the unfoldment of their own spiritual integrity. If, for instance, we pollute our drinking water, we're going to be sick. If we fill our air with smoke and chemicals, we're going to be ultimately asphyxiated. If we waste our resources, as petroleum, natural gas, and so on, we're going to someday wake up and find this bottle we call the earth is going to be empty. And we can't wait around for the hundreds of millions of years that it took to achieve the alchemy of petroleum. So we have realized that it is necessary to use wisely what we have. And that Ben Franklin was quite correct when he said that willful waste ends in woeful want. There is no other possibility. So we have also a soul reservoir. We have an energy field of materials by which the psychic integration is maintained. It is from this field that each individual soul receives the nourishment and the sustenance necessary for its continuance. Just as the body is derived from physical materials, so the mind from mental and the soul from psychic materials. These materials might be likened to a great ocean or to a tremendous reservoir of energy, the final source of the soul reservoir being the nature of deity itself. The soul is a similar thing, in a sense, to light. For as the physical sun lights the body and continues to illuminate the planet and all of its various forms of life, so the psychic sun illuminates the inner life, nourishes it, and makes possible that the inner life shall be fruitful and shall fulfill its destiny. Now, if by any chance we pollute the material elements of life, we are in trouble. If we abuse or pervert the soul problems, we are also in trouble. The soul, the power of which is used perversely, is sickened, and the entire field of psychic energy is polluted by the misuse of soul potentials. If the soul wishes peace and man continues to war, he is corrupting the psychic sources of his own idealistic growth. This corruption affects not only the present life in which he is embodied, but affects the internal composition of his nature, which he must carry with him beyond the grave. It naturally then follows that the pollution of the soul principle by millions and hundreds of millions and billions of people all over this planet Earth results in a toxic condition in the psychic energy which protects the planet. We cannot misuse any form of energy without interfering with the natural life of all things. The temper fit of the human being may seem to be peculiarly his own, but whether he realizes it or not, or ever able to prove it or not, the decay of his own disposition will ultimately affect all the flora and fauna around him in nature. It may even affect the survival of his planet. It is much more dangerous for the psychic nature to be corroded than it is even for the for a neutron bomb to be formed. It is more dangerous for the individual as a mass of people to pervert the essentials of life as far as their moral values are concerned. It is far more dangerous to do this than it is to expose the physical world to chemical warfare. The cycle's chemical warfare is already hard at work. Now, we know that vibration is a reality also, whether we like to admit it or not. And we know that there are many different levels and standards of vibration. We know there are harmonious vibrations and inharmonious vibrations. We know that there are conditions arising around us all the time in which our own vibratory attitudes become important. Psychometry has shown us that the individual leaves a vibratory pattern on a room whenever he passes through it, that this vibration also can affect things around him. It is noted that certain persons coming into a room will kill flowers almost instantly. Others, the flowers will live longer. But vibration is very important, and all vibrations can be divided into two essential types, constructive and destructive. A constructive vibration is one in which soul power dominates. Therefore, it is concerned with beauty, with hope, with love, with faith, with friendship, with unselfishness, compassion, service, all these types of things. The lack of self-centeredness is one of the important factors in good vibratory relationships. The individual who is over-personal is always competitive, and his vibrations begin to go down to a lower level. On the other side, the negative vibrations of fear, anxiety, jealousy, conflict, the perpetuation of grudges and evils, intense competition, and all of the false emotional relationships between living things, largely due to ignorance, or mental condemnation, all these types of vibrations are killers. They destroy that which is good. They make it increasingly difficult for nature to preserve and maintain the purity of the psychic field in which we live. Today, as we read the newspaper or watch television programs, we realize that we are in a world in which there is much conflict, much negative thinking, much self-centeredness, and even a corrupting factor. I think it would be better for all humanity if all international news was given by radio rather than television, on the ground that the visualization added to the words creates an overemphasis and permits a great deal of misrepresentation. We do not need to be constantly flooded with bad news. Now, people will say, well, if it's true, we have to hear about it. This is not entirely a valid statement, however. If we have to hear things, if we should be told that which happens, if we must hear in order to be informed, then we must have a balanced program of things to hear. We must be just as quick to emphasize a good circumstance as a bad one. When someone does something really worthwhile, this should also be given full coverage. If a new pattern of thought or living which is going to be helpful is being developed, we should be kept constantly informed of that. But for the most part, all the good we try to do or others try to do is ignored, and only scandal, gossip, and hatred are circulated. This is not fair to the individual because it helps to corrupt the mental attitude and block the development of the inner psychic value. We are gradually created into a strange, toxic condition. And most information as we have it today is not reliable and extremely toxic. To meet this type of a circumstance, each person has to be his own censor. We each have to do those things which we believe to be essentially right. There is no leadership that can come to us from this world that is going to be perfect. But the leadership of the divine within ourselves is the leadership we'll have to live with long after our present civilization has faded away. We have to be led by that which is right. And those of us who are mortal creatures in this world were born to obey that which was fashioned to lead and control. We have to obey the divine purpose. If we do not, we penalize ourselves and then shake off this of God. To fulfill our divine purpose, therefore, we must dedicate our resources individually and collectively to those labors which are according to the divine law. No other way can we escape or evade or avoid the emergencies under which we live today. It is going to be very easy for people to explain why our leaders should be more honest, why we should have a better type of government. But it's always necessary then to pause and ask, how honest are we, and how good are the leaderships from within ourselves? Are we actually advising a condition for others which we really have no intentions of applying to our own natures? That we want to have a world that is secure so that in that secure world we can do what we please. We can break all the rules without endangering the security of society. Such cannot occur. So when the problem of integration of values comes into focus, it is necessary to realize that it is our duty to cleanse the psychic field of our own lives as Hercules cleansed the stables in the ancient legend. We have to gradually bring our own personal conduct into harmony with integrities. Now, it may be that in the course of time we will realize that the universal government, which governs everything from the planet to the galaxy and beyond, can be transformed into a form of management for humanity. In other words, the great archetype of universal procedure can be brought down to the level of our human problems and applied thereto successfully. There is only one plan, but it can be adapted to innumerable levels of necessity. Someday, we may build what the Buddha philosophy calls the universal community, the universal commonwealth. This is a commonwealth in which the democracy of man is preserved by the unity of deity. That all commonwealths are the result of a cooperation that these planets and the worlds and the suns and all of the various forms of life are a great community, and that this community, in order to survive, must dedicate all of its individual activities to the protection of the common good. There can be no competition in a divine world, because in the divine world there is nothing lacking, and nothing can be in greater or lesser abundance. Each living thing receives its own allotment, and in the presence of that allotment must make the next step in the growth of its own values. If we allow our minds to contemplate the possibility that we are toxifying our psychic atmosphere, we might get a lot of big explanations for problems that are very confusing to us today. We can realize how things like alcohol and narcotics addictions and things of this nature can exist. They can definitely exist if we block the integrity values within ourselves. They can also be precipitated by the corruption of the psychic field. If you poison the energy which must support life, you will then have a crippled and deformed life. If we take the sources of the powers and energies which we have from the sunlight up and down, and we corrupt or variously disease these forces, then everyone, everything that builds a body must build it from material that is less adequate. We have to build bodies from materials which have not in them the true energies of life. We build them from debilitated materials, carrying within this debilitation a variety of negative impulses toward corruption. If the body itself is not capable of being normal, then the function of the life through the body, no matter how noble the effort may be, is going to be in some way or other disadvantaged. Now, if we take, for example, the problem of our psychological or mental energies, or our vital energies, the human body physically is in a sea of vital energy. This vital energy, moving through the endocrine system and through the various nervous parts of the human structure, this vital energy is part of a great sea of energy. And this sea of energy is something in which we all exist. Now, if this energy is perverted and polluted, this energy becomes less healthy. And where a few polluted, it may not mean too much. But when the whole human race starts to pollute it, then the energy field of humanity is diseased. There can be no question whatever that millions of persons are coming into this life disadvantaged by the inability to find proper materials from which to build bodies, or to derive as part of their common heritage materials from their parents which are suitable to build a good body. If the parent has corrupted theirs, and by mental attitudes and emotional intensities have reduced the quality of the material to be used in the building of the body of a child, this child is going to be underprivileged in terms of energy for the rest of their lives. Now we have all kinds of synthetics to try to build up these energies. We are off on health foods and dietetic programs and everything you can think of because we do not feel good. And the reason that we do not feel good, finally, is that we are not good. We are breaking rules every minute and trying to patch them at $25 a consultation. We are not doing what is necessary. Now, it's quite possible that a person in middle life is going to wake up and realize that they've been the victim of this vast conspiracy, that they didn't get a good body when they came in, and they didn't do very much with the body they did get, and they have continued in one way or another to contaminate it ever since. These people may wake up, and while they cannot undo all the damage, they can correct as much as possible, become a little wiser, and plan for a better future. But if they just drift along on the same old way, they in turn are going to be the ancestors of further disabled generations. If this energy field is sufficiently corrupted, it's going to affect the vital body of the earth. Now, the vital energy of the earth is most obvious in the plant kingdom, where the energy moving from within the earth to the surface and outward sustains a mass of living things that grow largely in the direction of that energy flow. The vital body of the human being is responsible for the hair, which is really a crystallization along rays of vital energy. If the vital energy inside fails, the hair falls out. If the vital energy on the planet, in the planet fails, the plant life is disturbed. If the plant life is disturbed, we're going to have poorer harvests. We're going to have less nutrition in the food that we eat. And the vital body of the earth is more or less diseased by the vital body of the things living on it, is going to gradually become corrupted and infirm. And the necessity for cleansing this situation is very important. But to simply pour a little new fertilizer on the acreage is not the answer. The answer is that this vital resource must be protected by the individuals who are themselves living off that same vitality in their invisible causal natures. The person who is constantly wasting energy is not only wasting his own, he is wasting that necessary for the tomato down the street. We are depleting the whole field. Now, when we start depleting things, sickness sets in. When we start depleting or mistreating the human body, sickness sets in. And a very large part of sickness in the human body is a result of the blockage of the natural flows of energy. The individual whose energy fields are disturbed is sick. When the energy field of the earth is disturbed, it's sick. And when the individual gets sick, he gets irritable. He gets difficult. He may also get actually very temperamental. Or he may ultimately fall in a fit, or have paralysis or a coronary. Now, the earth has its equivalents of these things. If we keep on disturbing the energy fields of the earth long enough, we're going to have a new wave, a rash of great storms, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, floods, and every type of incident that results from the corruption of the basic energies which sustain life. We cannot waste these energies. We cannot continue to pour smog into the air without ultimately bringing danger to every living thing. When we have a criminal that we don't know what to do with and we can't really arrest him, we simply put him next into another state next door and let another state take care of him. This goes on until he either passes on or commits something for which we can punish him. If we don't like somebody, we try to have them move away. But these problems that we face today will not move away because there's no place else to go. The earth's problems have to be solved here. And to solve these problems, we have to make the right use of every resource. With right use, right control, right attitudes, our resources can be extended over a great period of time, and we will also discover that we develop within ourselves new sources of energy. The great uncatalogued or unclassified source of energy for man is man. the human being is the only great source of energy that can replenish itself. Only living things can replenish. All the things that are locked in the earth and so forth, when they're gone, they do replenish also, but so slowly it does us very little good. But the replenishment of our own energies goes on, becoming more and more important as we improve. If we can assume for a moment that the human being fulfilled the pattern for which he was intended, it is quite safe to say that through conservation, care, integrity, lack of selfishness, that the natural physical energies upon which we depend for existence today, and which are causing us no end of worry and anxiety, that those sources will last until the natural improvement of man reveals and makes available to him energy sources which he knows nothing about at the present time. He can outgrow his need for this material energy and depend more and more upon the psychic fields around him. He can be nourished until he outgrows the need of it. And when the time comes and he is born, actually out of a material state, he will find that there have been changes in his own nature, as in the nature of a newborn child, that will enable him to adjust to forms of nutrition that he doesn't know anything about today. But if he continues to stay as he is, blunt and self-centered, opinionated, and ambitious, in all probability he's going to run out of everything. But this doesn't mean that everyone has to have this experience. The individual's relationship with his own energy sources are completely personal. If the individual performs the alchemical transmutation within himself, he cannot be destroyed along with the guilty, because the whole distribution of the situation makes this impossible. He will undoubtedly find that all of his own kind who have made similar achievements will have the solution to their problems. But if no change is made in disposition, if man earns nothing better, he will get nothing better. But the workman is worthy of his hire. So if we try, we make it work. But if we don't try, we'll be in trouble. The trouble is spreading. We see it every day. We see groups of people who should be building better lives under influences which apparently cannot be withstood. The psychic field is sick. The psychic field is sick, and nervousness, excitement, hysteria, violence, these things come when the relationships of the parts of man's metaphysical organization are in turmoil. As there is no organization within the compound of the individual, then the individual will manifest as completely disorganized. To meet this, the thoughtful person must begin to make whatever remedies and achievements he can to improve the situation. He must overcome all of the pettiness which has made him stay small. He is going to have to get over all of the ulterior motives which drive him, force him, press him, impel him, and begin to realize the very definite facts. And the most important facts for him to realize, perhaps the most important, is that he is only a visitor here. He is almost a hostage. He is surrounded by a violent situation, and it's taking a long time to get him out of it. But he is only here because he has a lesson to learn. The graduates don't stay here. And those who have finished the experiences of this world are not forced to come back and go over it again. The only way they come back is when, out of charity and compassion, they come back to try to help others. But the individual who finishes his experience here is released from this entire cycle of materialistic pressures. And having achieved the fulfillment, having received his diploma, as far as this world is concerned, he goes on to other things. There is no permanence here. The worse we are, the longer we stay. This is another discomforting thought. I know many people have said to me, if I ever get out of here, I'm never coming back. I have, from my own opinion at least, news for them. They'll be back very quickly. Because no one ever gets away from a problem unless he solves it. And nature is not going to give a diploma to an individual who can't read or write. So we have the inevitable fact that the more selfish we are, the more arrogant we are, the more materialistically oriented we are, the longer we'll be here. We're going to be here until we learn for good and all that this is a place to learn, but not a place to settle back to rest in the lap of luxury. We are not here primarily to have fun. And the only way we can have fun in this world is to enjoy growing. That comes the nearest to it, and it has considerable advantage. So we are now wondering about earthquakes. We're wondering about all these catastrophes. We know that we are only a few hours from a plague unless we use every possible means of sanitation. All these things hang over us, and we're discouraged. It looks as though we've been building desperately for something that wasn't going to happen. I think we'll ultimately have to realize that the present dilemma is probably the most encouraging symptom that we have. The fact that we're in trouble up to our ears is really encouraging, because it proves beyond all doubt that there is universal justice. It proves that if you do a thing, you pay for it. Therefore, we are dealing primarily with an honest, universal purpose. And this is the most encouraging thing. And we are reasonably certain that deity cannot be bribed, corrupted, or picketed. We realize that the power that runs all things cannot be contaminated by self-ambition, by ambition of any other kind, by any type of intimidation, or by morbid sentimentalism. The thing is as it must be. Now, if we live in a universe that's honest, there's hope for all of us. The only thing we have to do is be honest, too. This is not easy, because we have trained ourselves for thousands of years in the delicate art of dishonesty. And dishonesty seems very pleasant, because it meets the personal selfishness of the moment, but leaves us in a lot of trouble. So the fact that things are difficult more or less proves that you cannot do it wrong and be happy. This implies that if you do it right, you could be happy. And this is where the positive side of the thinking comes in. Our real job at the moment is to realize why we are here, and not to wring our hands. We are here to think about what we can observe and reflect upon. We are able at this moment to study a vast textbook made up of the records of all human beings and other creatures on the earth at the present time, their problems and their relationships, and how these have descended to them from past ages. All this information is now available. While we were doing all right, we wouldn't even open the book. But now it is possible for us to realize that this information is worthwhile, that we can use it, and that if we do really settle down to the problem and we take the universal archetype as correct, we can say to ourselves, I can do as I please. I can break the law and suffer, or I can keep the law and achieve security. And it's just that inevitable. And as days go by and everything here gets a little worse and a little worse and a little worse, the inevitables are going to begin to show more clearly. We are going to realize that some people are born virtuous, some achieve virtue, but the majority have to have it thrust upon them. And we are in the glorious state of having it thrust upon us at the present moment. And nothing could be better for us. And nothing makes us more miserable. We don't want it. We want to be spoiled. We want to live by a spoiled system. We want to have anything we can see that is expensive. We expect to be supported, we expect to be inspired, and we expect to be forgiven any mistakes that we do make. If this world was really a little ball floating in space without management, some of these things might have a vestige of truth in them. But as part of a great plan of life going somewhere, and part of a larger pattern which must always rule, and descended from the divine mind which must always know, this particular situation is really part of a well-organized, perfectly honest, and therefore utterly desirable educational system. We are going to have to learn to keep the rules. And we have made little rules of our own, which we have made much easier because we made these rules to match our fancy. We have made rules that, by keeping them, and that enables us to make all our mistakes. But we must revise these rules and bring them back again to the divine order of things and realize that the rules that men make can be broken. But the rules of the universe, if they are broken, break men. There is no way out of this. And yet it is not dismal. It's not fatalistic. It's not horrible. It's not something to cause us all to fall into melancholia. It is a remarkable and wonderful process through the acceptance and understanding of which we can come to a sense of security and value otherwise impossible. We can say to ourselves, it is a blessing to be alive now in spite of the problems, because now is the time in which we can learn probably the most important lessons that face humanity at the present time. So with quietude of inner life, with patience, with intelligence, with compassion, with quietude, we can contemplate the values. And instead of becoming constantly irritated, upset, and disturbed, we can begin to transform what we know into our own code of conduct. We can give more and more attention to things that we should learn, and should not be afraid of learning. We should not be afraid of experiences, because it is our own inner life that can take the pain and the fear out of them and help us to realize that some of the things we have previously considered as tragic were really the most important that ever happened to us. If we begin to think constructively, we will not only achieve a better tone of life, but the psychic field, which must support our integrities, will be reinforced, and its energies will be purified, and we will be sending back into that field a group of vibratory, constructive rates that will nourish the field because we have nourished the parts of it in ourselves. Every good thought sent out into space stands as a testimony to growth. Every poor thought falls as a testimony to error and to regression. So it's very important that we try to learn lessons rather than hate things, rather than suffering constantly from bickering and competition, that we use our energies wisely and purify in every way that we can our motives. For our motives are more important than our deeds. And if our motives are wrong, even the best deed loses most of its value. And if a motive is right, even a disappointment has value that will endure. Try to clean up the relationship between your own inner soul life and your mind and body. If you can do some of this work yourself, you'll find climate will improve, there'll be less natural disasters, the harvest will be more abundant, and the policies of nations will relax. In a home where the parents argue all the time, the children are nervous wrecks. In a world that argues all the time, each of the human beings in it is a nervous wreck. And those who have suffered from this type of situation should be relieved of the pain. Let us try then to let the soul show through. Let the tremendous wisdom, compassion of the Eternal influence us sufficiently so that we shall live wisely, live pleasantly, live kindly, and place the unfoldment of the God in us above the accumulation of worldly possessions. If we can get these thoughts a little straighter in our mind, we will save ourselves a lot of energy in this life and build into our consciousness something important to take with us when we leave here and to bring back with us when we come. All these points are, of course, briefly outlined, but perhaps they will help in some way to clarify some of this problem. Thank you very much. Dishonesty seems very pleasant. We want to live a remarkable and wonderful process. Wisely. Even a disappointment. Race. In a world that argues all in unfoldment of course briefly outlined, but perhaps they will help in some way to clarify some of this problem. Thank you very much. Nations will relax. In a home where the parents argue all the time, the children are nervous wrecks. In a world that argues all the time, each of the human beings in it is a nervous wreck. And those who have suffered from this type of situation should be relieved of the pain. Let us try then to let the soul show through.
that the tremendous wisdom, compassion of the Eternal influence us sufficiently so that we shall live wisely, live pleasantly, live kindly, and place the unfoldment of the body above the accumulation of worldly
otherwise problems. Impossible.
To get these thoughts a little straighter in our minds, we will save ourselves a lot of
testimony to
build into our consciousness some
argue all the time. These thoughts a little straighter in our minds, we will save our with us when we come.
Of all these weekly outcomes, we have to talk in some way, clarify some of this problem.